Hello, this is Tom Campbell, host of a series of interviews with local band members and music industry professionals from the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. Today's interview is with Dave Wagner and Jim Balaban from the band The Aardvarks. Today is July 21st, 2010, and I'm talking with Dave Wagner and Jim Balaban. I'd like to start out by asking you guys your full name, date of birth, and hometown.
Dave Wagner, 9/13/1947. Born Waseca, Minnesota. Grew up mostly in Champlin and into Lincoln, Nebraska, and then back to Brooklyn Center. Graduated from Brooklyn Center, 64.
Jim?
Jim Balaban, and I was born in Minneapolis. My date of birth is 3/9/46, and I grew up in Brooklyn Park and Brooklyn Center.
And what high school did you go to?
Anoka High School. I graduated in 1964.
What is your earliest memory of the local music scene in town, Dave?
Well, mine is my cousin, Mike Wagner, and the Bops was first band that I ever seen.
Where did you see him?
And Crystal Coliseum, I believe, was the first time I ever seen him. And seen him a few times, of course, after that also, because it was my cousin. That was kind of, didn't know anybody else, and I wasn't in the music business when I first went out, started going to see him.
What was the Crystal Coliseum like?
Huge. Big place. I remember a lot of people. Big place. That's where everybody went. You know, it was the place to get into.
What did you think of Mike Wagner and the Bops?
Well, I thought he was great, you know, but I didn't know anybody else back then. But I mean, you know, to me, he did everything the way that I was hearing it on the radio and stuff in those days. And so, you know, I thought he was pretty good.
Roughly what year would that have been that you saw Mike Wagner?
Well, 1962. Yeah.
Okay. And Jim, how about you? Do you remember the first local band you saw?
First local band I saw there, my brother was in the band. It was called the Elgatos. And that was in 1961. And I remember the Crystal Coliseum as being one huge Quonset hut sitting out in the field.
Mm-hmm. And your brother's name was?
Gene Balaban.
And what did he play?
He played lead guitar. And Chuck Stimson played drums, Ray Berg played rhythm, and I'm not sure who played bass.
And what kind of music were the Elgatos playing at that time?
Well, it was early rock and roll, 50s, you know, they did Elvis, they did everything, you know. But
did you see Elvis on the Ed Sullivan Show?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yes.
That have an impression on you?
Definitely. I still remember the night when he came on, and my grandfather and his wife were there playing cards with my mom and dad, and we were all in the living room, and Ed Sullivan came on and Presley came on, and I remember my grandpa hollering about, "What are you listening to in there?" And, you know, "Get that, turn that trash down," and you know, and stuff, you know, we're just going, wow, yeah, this is...
It was pretty different for the time.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it made a big impression on me, because up until then, it was all country stuff, you know, country western stuff in my family.
Jim, did you see Ed?
Yeah, I saw it too. That show? Yeah, it was definitely shake, shake, shake. And I think that started that whole era of shaking on the stage, you know.
How does your first band come about, and who's in the band?
Well, the first band I was in was the Aardvarks. It was my brother was lead, I was drums. We had a bass guitar player, Tom Dorholt, and a rhythm guitar player, Gary Hall. And, well, first off, it was Ray Berg, and then Gary Hall came in after Ray quit. I believe that was in 61. Or 62, we were playing in the basement of my dad's house in Brooklyn Center.
What kind of equipment did the band play on?
I had a cheap set of drums at first. My brother played a Fender Stratocaster, I believe. Just basically, instruments weren't as expensive back then, so they were, you know.
Did the band play any gigs outside of the basement?
We played a lot of, later on, we played a lot of high school, you know, parties, high school dances at Brooklyn Center. We played at some ballrooms. We traveled all the way to Pequot Lakes and played at Pequot Lakes Armory. And most of it was in Minnesota, but it was, you know, we traveled sometimes 2 or 3 hours to get to a gig. So
all the time you're in high school?
Yeah, back then we were all in high school.
Dave, how is it that you become a member of the Aardvarks?
I knew a couple of the guys, and we had this Lloydie's Drive-In that everybody back then, whether Brooklyn Center, North Minneapolis, it was kind of a hangout. They had great food, and the place was always packed. Everybody's hanging out there, and I bought a bass guitar because my cousin and stuff had sort of influenced me to where I decided that I wanted to get into the music business somehow.
Do you recall where you bought the bass and what kind it was?
Sure. It was a Fender Precision, and I bought it at B-Sharp, and it was Candy Apple Red. I was pretty proud of that. Didn't know how to play it, but anyways, I bought the thing, and I came, bought a basement amp. I had a Fender basement, and I stopped in at the drive-in. I was talking to Jim, and Jim says, I'll tell him about this bass guitar that I bought. And he said, well, you want to play in a band? I said, well, I don't know how to play the guitar yet. Well, that's all right. We'll teach you. And I said, well, okay. So I, like 2 days later or a day later, I was practicing with him in their basement. And 5 days later, we had our first gig. I was on stage playing.
Where was the first gig with you in the band?
Sadie Hawkins, Brooklyn Center High. Yeah, that was the first one that I played in. That was 5 days after I started rehearsing with these guys.
So all of a sudden, you're a musician up on stage performing.
Yep.
How did it feel?
Scared.
Oh, God.
It was different. But it was fun, too.
So the prior bass player had left the band?
Yeah, at that point. Left the band, gone his way, and Dave filled in for the length of the Aardvarks.
Yep.
The Aardvarks had a record out with side one, Josephine. So where did Josephine originate from?
Fats Domino.
Yeah.
It was on the radio?
Yeah. Fats Domino had it out, yeah. And I don't know if he had a hit with that or not. Maybe it was an album, I can't remember on that, but it was a Fats Domino song. And
okay, and side two is a song called Reminiscing. Yeah. And where did that song originate?
That's a Buddy Holly song.
Okay, this is on the Bell label. Do you recall where this record was recorded?
It was a
basement studio.
Basement studio.
It was a real small room. There was one microphone. I always remember that was the first time I was ever in a recording studio. I hadn't been playing more than a couple of months or whatever. There was one big microphone in the middle, and we went in there and spent about 4 or 5 hours, I suppose, something like that, you know, recording the two songs, and that was it.
Whose idea was it to put the 45 out?
I don't know if it was a group idea. I think we all decided that those two songs are the ones we were to record. We did record four other ones, I believe.
Later on, we recorded four others, which I think it was at Dove Studios, but they were never pressed up or anything, and I can't even remember what four songs they were. The only thing we had them on was an acetate. Mine wore out years ago. It was, you know, scrap. Acetates didn't last very long.
So was that a cool thing to have a record out back in those days?
We thought it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, back then, you know.
You know, yeah, I mean, it's part of the whole thing. You're telling people, well, we got a record out, you know.
Did you get it to WDGY or KDWB?
Yeah, I believe Bill Deal went a couple times with us to dances. In fact, he promoted one at
Kimball Ballroom.
He promoted the record there, but, of course, sales were down.
Yeah, it wasn't like we got a lot of airplay or anything like that. We got a little bit of airplay and sold a few copies. And
were you booking your own shows at this time?
Yeah. Yeah, we were booking. Most of it was hearsay.
Dave Anthony started booking us halfway through things.
That could have been.
Remember, I remember when Anthony came over to listen to us rehearse, mm-hmm. and we thought, we thought we got to get a booking agent so we can get some more jobs. Mm-hmm. And he was just basically, I think, starting up his booking agency at that time. And that was probably in about 64 right. maybe. Yeah. So anyways, he booked some jobs for us. I believe he did anyways. Yeah. It's been too long ago to remember what all happened there.
So during this early 60s time period, 61, 62, 63, 64, what other local bands did you go out and see, and where did you see them?
Saw the Trashmen.
Underbeats, I was a big fan of the Underbeats, so was Jim. Accents. We used to love to go out and see those guys. We kind of, I guess for me anyways, kind of hung more towards the north end of things when they played on the north end, whether it be at the high school or Bill's Roller Rink in Anoka. I went there a lot and, heard different bands. But it was pretty much the Underbeats and the Accents were my two favorite ones to watch. And, other than that.
Gregory DeNavantes.
Yeah, there was a couple others, but I wasn't as interested in them.
Did you guys go to Reggie's Danceland in Excelsior?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What bands do you recall seeing there?
Underbeats.
Yeah, I think that's who I went out and seen was the Underbeats out there.
Trashmen.
Yeah, we actually played.
Right.
Played out there. I don't remember. I don't know if the Aardvarks did or not. I know I worked out there a couple of times later on.
Reggie brought in national acts there too. Did you ever see any national acts?
No, the one that I wished I would have went to see was my cousin
opening
up for the Rolling Stones. And I didn't even know it really at that time, because I was a Rolling Stones fan, and I didn't know that until afterwards that they were out there and stuff. And we'd have both been out there if we'd have known. But
did the Aardvarks wear matching costumes?
Yes.
What did you wear on stage?
Mostly the same shirts. We wore Dickies underneath shirts, pointed shoes or boots with tight black pants.
That picture you got right there, first bass guitar.
Mm-hmm. So how long does the Aardvarks last?
I believe I quit in 68 or 67 and got out of it completely.
Yeah, but the Aardvarks was probably, I want to say we started 65. 65 is when I started Joker's Wild, and Gene worked with us, he came to Joker's Wild, and that was 65. So,
then it must have been 63 when we quit, because we were He2s for a while.
You're right.
We were.
For a short time, we were He2s.
How did that come about?
We just changed.
That was through Dave Anthony. Actually, Dave Anthony, he had this name, He2s, and he thought, this was going to be a great name for a band. And we went, I forgot all about that. We went to the name He2s.
That would have been roughly what year?
That would have been 64.
Yeah.
Then he booked some jobs with us, this and that. Then we broke up. When we broke up and I started Joker's Wild, the He2s actually got passed on to some other guys, another band that took over the name then. I'm trying to think of the brothers.
Bob Bear played drums.
Bob Bear and, the Bear Brothers anyways. Mm-hmm. Yep. And they're the ones that took over the name of He2s.
So the first version of the He2s was the same band members as the Aardvarks.
Yeah.
Correct.
Strictly a name change.
Yep.
Right.
What did you think of the new name?
Didn't matter to me as long as we got booked.
Yeah, we were basically just kind of looking at it as, what's the difference? He figured that it was more commercial. It was a better name than what the Aardvarks was. And we thought, well, it doesn't matter. If it gets us work, we don't care. Yeah. you know.
So 64, 65, a new band comes along, the Beatles. Did you guys see the Beatles on Ed Sullivan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of impact did that have on you?
For me, not all that much. I mean, I thought they were all right. I liked the way they looked better than the way they sounded. I was the Rolling Stones fan. You know, when they came out, it was like, yeah, that's that. But, you know, I mean, the Beatles were something new and different and all of that. I don't think it had as much of an impact on me as it did on, you know, other people.
Jim, how about you?
Well, I think it had a bigger impact on me than Elvis did, because I can take Elvis or leave him, but Beatles were, I loved that music. And we played a lot of it in our band. I think it was the start of the English invasion.
Oh, definitely.
We did a lot of Beatles music.
Yeah, the He Too's thing, yeah. We did do a lot of that, but then when I started Joker's Wild, then we leaned towards, we were always doing all of the English stuff that was more taboo, off the wall.
So did the Beatles look have an influence on your band?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We all got our hair cut. And
well, that's where that dress came from and stuff on that photo, too, was because, you know, that was all of the most of the English bands, except for the Stones. But most of the English bands were all dressing like and wearing the suit coats and beetle boots and things like that. And so that, you know, and they had the hairstyle. So that's where that all came from. And, you know, and you're in the music scene, you're just trying to go along with the flow. And, you know.
To me, when I look at our picture, it reminds me of Dave Clark Five.
Yeah, I mean, it does.
They all dress.
That's a lot of how they dressed. Yeah.
Where did you have to go in town to buy British type of clothing?
Well, in order to get four of anything in different sizes that we had to go down to Minneapolis. I know we went.
Kiefer's
and Jake Jewell's in Minneapolis.
Kiefer's where I bought most of my stuff.
Yeah. And you could buy four of anything there, in no matter what size you were in. So.
And he'd give you a good deal.
So the Aardvarks do some Beatle covers. Do you do Rolling Stones covers too?
No. I don't think we did with
I don't think so.
With the Aardvarks, no.
Who did most of the vocals with the Aardvarks?
Well, my brother and I, Gene and I, did most of the vocals. Gary did some.
Gary did some. A couple. I did a couple. Yeah, but it was mostly Gene and Jim.
So you've got a new name, the He Too's. You're booked by David Anthony. What happens next with the band?
We just came to an end. Yeah. You know, I mean, I wanted to do, you know, to get into the singing more, and I wanted to, I really didn't want to play at all as far as, you know, bass guitar or anything. I wanted to be a lead singer. Stuff, so I, you know, so that was basically, it was time to move on.
Yeah, I believe Gary left first.
Gary did leave first because he didn't like, Gary was kind of hung up in this whole
early rock era.
Real early rock era, and he wanted us to do songs that he wrote, but the songs that he wrote were like from the early rock era. They weren't anywhere as close to what was going on, and so he kind of got mad and quit.
Yeah.
And then basically we just, you know, said, well, you know, that was kind of it. I mean, it wasn't the way that we broke up because we disliked each other or anything like that. It was just, that was time to move, you know.
That's, for me, it was a steady girlfriend and time to move on. I got tired of playing weekends and no time and, you know, working a full-time job and then going to school.
Roughly what year does the band come to an end?
Well,
it was probably the end of 64, I'd say, because Joker's Wild started. I started right in with Joker's Wild immediately, so, and that started 65. So it was either late 64 or early 65 when we broke up.
Something like that. Yeah.
And at the end, you're still the He Too's?
Right.
Yeah.
Did you have a band vehicle?
Well, Dave had a.
Not really.
In our early days, Dave had a Pontiac. that would seat five and pull a trailer at 80 miles an hour down the highway. So that's what we usually used. Remember a lot of late nights coming home, pulling the trailer. And
yeah, it was. We didn't have a specific band vehicle at that time.
And we had a guy with us that would help set up and take care of those type of things. Bob Benson, remember?
Sure.
Yeah.
What kind of equipment did the band use on stage?
Well,
It was all Fender.
Yeah.
I don't know what your drums were.
I had Ludwig then. I upgraded to a better set. Yeah. Ludwig drums, and I think...
Yeah, we used... it was all Fender, and Gene had a Gibson 335.
Yeah.
Because I remember when he got that 335, he was that... Because he had the Fender before then.
Right.
And he was, once he got that 335, and he got it because Jim Johnson used the 335. Right. So Gene was like really proud of that thing. When he got it, it was like, that was his baby.
He could even play it better. Just in his own mind.
Yep.
Play it better than he could the Fender.
What did the vocals run through?
Oh, what did I, you know, I think we used a couple of single Showman bottoms. Yeah. And the old Harman Kardon, or what was it?
We had the old steel, stainless microphones. They were about, they weighed about 60 right. pounds.
Yep.
And
That was before, sure. I don't. Electro Voices, yeah.
Right, the big.
Electro Voice microphones, and I think we used that a Harman Kardon, like a 60 watt.
Right.
With a little 5-channel mixer, and that's all you know. And if you didn't have your ear right to the front speaker, they had no clue what you were doing, couldn't hear.
So as far as this early 1960 to 1965 time period, were there any musicians, local musicians in town that impressed you?
Yeah, the Underbeats.
Yeah, Jim Johnson did a lot on guitar. As far as vocalists, I don't believe there was. And I'm not saying that out of trying to be conceited or anything. I'm just, at that time, there really wasn't any, like, lead vocalist people. Everybody was like, the lead vocalist was like Jim. I mean, Jim was a great singer, but he was the lead guitar player and the singer. And the accents was... You know, drummer, singer, and a lot of that. There was very few guys that were just lead singers. And
Jim, any drummers that impressed you?
I believe I kind of like Steve War. Wasn't he?
Oh, Steve.
From the Trashmen.
From the Trashmen.
From the Trashmen.
Good drummer. Underbeats had a good drummer. I can't remember. Rod Eaton. He was an excellent drummer, I thought. As far as vocalists, nothing that I can think of. Guitar playing, I thought Jim Johnson was the best guitar player, even though my brother played too.
Yeah.
Jim played Chuck Berry better than Chuck Berry did.
I used to like Kenny Sands a lot too, from the accents.
Guitar player with the accents?
Yeah.
I would have to imagine it was a pretty cool thing to be in a band in that era.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, much more than it is now. Now there's just everybody's in a band. Back then there, it was a lot different, you know. And yeah, it was. I mean, you're in a band. That was cool. I mean, people, you know, it was a whole different era.
Girls hung around the stage like they do now, but you know, they were. It was a different period of time. They weren't, crawling up on the stage. It was a lot of fun.
Definitely.
The preceding interview was recorded at Sunrise Sound in Rogers, Minnesota on July 21st, 2010, and was produced by Danny Johnson and Tom Campbell.
I'm just sitting here reminiscing, wondering who you've been.